Hello and welcome to another episode of Building Minnesota Rocker. I'm Ashley, aka Midnight Director of Content for the team, and I'm here with Brett Diamond, the COO. We're just chilling. It's a duo podcast, a dynamic duo hitting them today. Boom. We're gonna kind of just sync up with you guys, talk about, you know, Atlanta, obviously how that went for us, not only as a team and how we performed, but as an organization, and just kind of some of the stuff that we've been doing, and maybe we'll just go off topic at the end. Who knows? It's a podcast.
It's been a while since it was just the duo podcast.
Yeah, I kind of like, and no, I love having a guest. I love learning about, you know, the different people and players that we've had on here, but it is cool to just kind of do like a sync up episode because me and Brett can just talk. Stream of consciousness style. So like if we had to do a 3-hour podcast, we definitely could.
That could be arranged.
You're pretty busy, but we'll figure it out. We could figure out a
It's not gonna be today. Not full schedule today.
Yeah, but I'll hit up your planner 3 weeks in advance, and then we'll plan the 3 hours.
We have 2 bye weekends after the next LA trip. So, yeah. So those weeks will be slower. We can fit a 3-hour podcast.
There we go. We'll have lots of time. So obviously, this past weekend, Atlanta's homestand happened. You were actually at the event in venue. I stayed back in Minnesota and I was at our watch party on Saturday. We'll get into that. But talk a little bit about like your experience at the venue. How do you feel like their event went off compared to, I guess we've only had 3 events so far. We didn't go to London because we didn't play there. And, you know, our event was at home. So was it weird to have that, you know, visiting team vibe?
Yeah, it was a little bit different. It felt very different being at an event after being at ours where, you know, all of us were busy every second of the weekend.
Yeah.
And then to go and be the visiting team and you're pretty much just there, you know, when you're there in my role, you're supporting the team and, you know, anything that you can do to help the players and coaches, obviously. But most of the time you're just kind of hanging out.
Yeah.
So spent a lot of time, you know, walking around the venue, checking it out. It's a pretty cool arena that they're in. It's sort of a minor league basketball arena.
Oh, cool.
In the Atlanta suburbs. It was very interesting for us because, as most people know, we're considering building an arena here at Viking Lakes.
I'm biased, but we should totally do that. I'm so biased, but that would be so sick. Okay, sorry.
And we don't really have detailed plans or anything like that yet, and we don't even know if we're going to build it, but we're discussing it, right?
It's, you know,
it's in
a,
it's under consideration. But if we did it, it would probably look and feel similar to this arena where Atlanta had their event. So it was good for us to see that event. Look at it through that perspective, see how they did their setup, how their backstage worked, how all of these different pieces came
together.
Yeah,
did they kind of like cut the basketball court or portion it off?
Yeah, it was about a third. It was about a third of the way up the basketball floor. And then they had all the production elements backstage. In a lot of ways, everything was very, very similar to our event.
Mm-hmm.
For most home events, everything is just a little bit smaller. In terms of, it was almost like an optical illusion looking at the stage where the desks, everything just seemed slightly smaller, and that'll be what it'll be for our May event. It's, you know, the scope and the production is all very similar, and Atlanta did a great job. There were just some extra bells and whistles launch weekend that aren't necessarily part of the elements for all the events that follow. But overall, Atlanta were great hosts. I mean, you definitely have the Southern hospitality going on.
Oh, nice.
It was interesting. You know, being obviously having been the home team for the first event, then playing the home team as the visiting team.
Yeah, that was intense, I bet.
Yeah.
We could hear on the stream once we won the first 2 maps.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when they started getting momentum, you actually did hear the crowd really get behind them. But I'm not sure, like, and this is no shade, no tea, but like, I couldn't hear properly the crowd on the stream.
Mm.
But I, looking back at our VODs from our home event, it felt like the crowd was really loud, but I'm not sure if that's just a mic situation.
Yeah.
Was it pretty loud in there?
In Atlanta?
In Atlanta.
Yeah, it was for when we were playing FaZe, it was loud.
Yeah.
You know, we, especially once, the comeback was rough to witness, but the crowd definitely got fired up.
Yeah.
You know, the closer they got throughout that match. We'll get into the match in a bit, I'm sure. But, overall, to answer your question, event, venue was cool. great hosts in Atlanta. It was fun. We found some rocker fans there.
There was like a few of them.
So we had three rocker fans that we had sit with us.
For the match. So Minnesota.
So there was the first rocker fan. We saw him. He was just sitting a couple rows behind us for our first match. And then our first match on Saturday against Paris. And then we ran into him again before our match against Chicago Saturday night. And so we asked, said, hey, do you want to come sit with us? And then he sat with us for the rest of the matches. And it was cool. Cool just to, because when we're there, once we're sitting in this, we're sitting in the seats, like we're looking at it through the eyes of a fan.
Yeah, you're chilling.
So you want to be with other fans. So, anybody who's listening to this podcast, if you're at an event in the future, hit us up, drop a DM, whether
you
it's
can
the,
come sit with us.
No, want you
girls.
To. We're surrounded by hostile fans when we're sitting there. Like we help get our back
strength
in the venue,
numbers.
Right? But yeah, it was fun. And then we ran into a couple guys that were part of a Challengers team that were wearing rocker hoodies.
Awesome.
We had them come and sit in our area too for the Sunday morning match against Paris. I didn't run into them right before the. Didn't see them before the Atlanta match, so I assume they were around there somewhere.
So I stayed back, and we had our very first launch party.
So cool.
Like, guys, so here's the thing. We were originally going to play at 10:30 a.m. Central Time. That was the schedule. We'd started promoting this watch party for that time, and I think it may have been like 3 or 4 days before, something like that. The schedule changed, and we got put on at 9 a.m. Central Time. Billy's on Grand.
Literally.
Yeah. Shout out to Billy's on Grand for opening early for us to have our watch party. So when I saw the time change, I was kind of like, ooh, like, does this mean that turnout might be pretty low for the watch party? I was pretty nervous. So I drove there expecting like 20 people, if I was generous. And we'd heard about the parking situation. They were like, yeah, the lot should be pretty empty, just park. I pull up to the parking lot, guys. I think I might have took the last spot. I got so lucky. And I got there like at 8:40, 8:45. And so I was like, Ashley was with me, and I was like, holy cow, like there's people here. And so we go in. I think there was the final count for like the number of raffle tickets we gave away was like 70 to 75. At 9 a.m. on a Saturday in Minnesota, just to watch a video game stream. It was just so cool. It blew all of our expectations out of the water. The people there were so cool. There were girls, there were guys. It was just a mix of people who were like excited to watch the match. And it was, regular fans that I've seen at a bunch of our events that we've had, or it was just new people. And so like the guy I was sitting next to, he had housed two beers by 9:15.
Respect,
I guess. we were sipping on mimosas and kind of chilling out. And I was just asking him like, hey, so I'm just kind of trying to be there and create conversation with people. And I was asking him like, hey, like, do you follow competitive Call of Duty before this? Or like, what are you into? And he's like, oh yeah, I kind of did before, but never really got into it. But now that I have a team, like I'm into it. I'm here. I mean, he came there by himself. Like he was ready to support. And so like, it was just really cool to like literally witness that. Like we're witnessing our brand being built. We're witnessing the culture be created as we go, and it's just so cool. So, and it was really cool that like Ellie, who's producing the podcast on the side here, like she was there getting video, Jack was there taking pictures, we were trying to get some content of it, and the stream, the CDL stream, actually ended out using some of that footage like of our watch party, referencing like the fans back home in Minnesota. And I mean, I know we're only three events into the season, but I haven't seen another team do that yet. And so I'm really like proud that we're the first team to do it in COD League, at least from what I can tell. If I have it wrong, I'm sorry. But, it far exceeded my expectations, and I'm looking forward to the next watch party that we do, because it was just so cool.
Yeah, it was so great getting those videos that you were sending us.
I was like in the middle of the crowd. Like there was a lot of people behind me too. Like it was crazy.
Yeah, and we've talked about on this podcast, we truly look at this as we are building this fan base one fan at a time. And we went into the weekend not knowing how many people would show up. And we talked about it as a team and said, hey, if it's 10 people or 15 people and those
Would have had a lit time with 15 people.
And that's like we said, hey, if it's 15 people and they're rocker fans and they have an awesome time and, and they walk away having enjoyed themselves and just feeling a part of the team, that's absolutely a win. And so to have, you know, to have 75 to 100 people or, you know, or more, I don't know. I mean, we lost track of count from what I understand.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was amazing. A lot. And that's only the raffle tickets. So if they came in late, like, we don't know. We had to move tables in, chairs in, because we ran out of seating immediately.
That's great.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So to see that level of fan support this early is amazing. And that's something that, you know, if every one of those people come back the next time and bring a friend, and then the next time after that, that's how this thing grows. And, you know, I mean, just to the, you know, I imagine a lot of people that are watching and listening to this, you know, we can't thank you all enough for, you know, for the support, both launch weekend, this past weekend.
Yeah.
And one of the really cool moments of the weekend was taking the videos, and the same ones that we posted to social. So everybody, you know, everybody listening to podcasts probably saw them. Where we took those videos and we were showing them to the players.
Yeah.
And they legitimately get fired up seeing that when they see a room full of people.
Feel good.
Yeah. When they see a room full of fans, a bar full of fans back in Minnesota, you know, chanting "Let's go Rocker" and cheering on the team, like, you can tell that it legitimately gets them fired up and inspires them.
Yeah, it definitely means a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, and then we also, like, I don't mind saying, like, we showed that video to a fair number of people in the venue, and we were showing it to, you know, to the broadcast folks saying, hey, check this out. This is going on in Minnesota. You want to put this on the stream?
Yeah.
And, you know, and media we were talking to were asking about it, and, you know, I think everybody involved, you know, just excited.
Yeah, you love to see that.
And I
would love to see all of the other teams in the league do that as well. Like, you love to see that type of support for everything that we're doing. And I mean, I hate when the podcast just turns into us patting ourselves on the back, but we should be very proud. I know we are. We're very proud that, like, 8 months ago, this didn't exist. Like, this wasn't a thing, and now it's a thing, and it's just a testament to the fans, especially the fans in Minnesota who get latched on, or even, like if you don't live in Minnesota, but you're like, oh, wow, like, maybe their logo's cool, or maybe you like one of our players. I mean, if you're getting into us now, like, it hasn't been possible without you guys, and it hasn't been possible without all the hard work that we've done behind the scenes as well. So,
well, that's, you know, one of the, and, you know, with the Love Fest, we're gonna give Ellie a buzzer where if it gets like too, like, oh,
she's,
you know,
like,
too lovey dovey, she's just gonna hit the buzzer, be like, beep. Okay, guys, let's talk. Let's get back on track.
Yeah.
But one of the fans that sat with us was from Huntsville, Alabama.
Nice.
And he's a Rocker fan.
What?
Made
That's
the
awesome.
Drive. He's a Rocker fan because he was a Midnight fan. And,
What's his name? Do you remember his name? Oh, I just put you on the spot.
I believe it's Ethan, but I'm bad with names.
I'm bad at names as well. Shout out to possibly Ethan from Huntsville, Alabama. Shout out to you, but tweet me if you see this.
But possibly Ethan.
Possibly.
I'm bad at names, but I'll never forget a face. So if you're at an event in the future, you're part of the family. You come up. You know, you're with us now.
Yes, you're a part of the crew now.
If I got your name wrong, I apologize.
I'm awful at names, truly. Like, literally, when I meet people, I try to listen and, like, recollect their name, but I just can't. Like, it literally flies through my head. But I remember, like, the interaction. I remember what they said. Like, it's like the people at the watch party, I feel so bad. I need to work on this. But some of these guys that come to all the things that we do, I know their names, like, somewhere inside of me, but I don't exactly. So I just, like, but I recognize them. I'm like, yo, what's up? Like, you.
See, because I'm bad at names, I'll psych myself up out sometimes. Or even if I know somebody's name, I might not say it.
Yeah,
because
what if
I
you're
think
wrong?
That I'm wrong. You know, I'm not sure if I'm right. Like, oh, I think this is Ashley.
Yeah, exactly.
But instead it's, hey, you.
Yeah. Do you want to know something embarrassing? So Tyler, who worked at the launch event for us, he was doing some stuff with us when we collaborated with Vikings Arcade. So I had worked with him, like, multiple times. Like, I had seen him, I'd had conversations with him.
Tyler from the Vikings?
Yeah, Tyler from the Vikings. And so he was, like, one of the collaborators on Vikings Arcade. And then he came to help us collaborate during launch weekend. And he was there and he looked so familiar to me, but not exactly, because he was much taller than I remembered him. And so I introduced myself to him a second time, and then he was like, oh, we met already. And then I was like, I will think about this before I sleep for the next week or three. So it was, that's how bad I am.
So it gets in your head after the fact.
Yeah, too. Yeah. So I overthink. But anyway, it's, I don't know, for what we're building here, everything that I've seen so far, it almost feels like it's fast tracked. Like, I'm not saying we're the biggest team in the league by any stretch, but we are laying the foundation right now every single day by doing what we do. And you watching this or listening and just subscribing for the content, you know, liking our tweet, all that support, even if it seems so minor to you, it really means a lot to us, and it means a lot to the players. And like, it just, and to, we'll get into the games here, but just to kind of cap it off, we're really proud of everything that we're building. And also, the next watch party for LA, we will play, God, I hope I get this right, we will play Seattle Surge at 1:30 Central Time. And we are going to do the watch party again. It's going to be at Billy's on Grand in St. Paul. It's a pretty cool place. It's in a really nice area. Like, Grand is awesome. If you drive up and down there, there's like shops and stuff. It's really nice. You guys should come out, come support with us. I think I'll be at the watch party. And even if I'm not, though, there's going to be like a bunch of rocker folk there. It's always cool to watch the games. It was cool to like I literally watched this guy sit next to this other guy. They didn't know each other, and they were talking about the games and just like being enthusiastic. Like, I just love that. It's a really cool community feel. So definitely come to the watch party if you're in town and you want partners to watch with. And we're trying to get it so that, you know, maybe like if we are having a good Sunday, maybe we even, you know, go back there and watch all together.
Yeah, and truly, if you're watching this and you want a Sunday watch party, drop a comment, because you know, that may, you know, maybe we may do it just because people are asking for it, right? I mean, truly, people are going to come back and watch Sunday, we'll do a watch party on Sunday.
Exactly. That's the thing. So, super excited. And just, I mean, with how everything at Atlanta just went, I mean, obviously, you and I, Brett, we believe in the players that we have on our team. I really do think we have a top championship caliber roster. But the rest of the people, like haven't necessarily thought that. We did have, I wouldn't call them easy opponents, but not like super, super top three team opponents on launch weekend, because we played the LA Gorillas and Toronto. Shout out to those teams, but like, they're not on the Huntsman phase level. So this past weekend, if you guys missed it, which I mean, if you're listening to this, you most likely watched and know the, or at the very least know the results, but we played Paris twice, beat them twice, played Huntsman. I felt like we played them decently close, but had to take the L. And then we played FaZe in the semifinals. So if we would have won that match, we would have been in the finals, which is crazy, because like, Huntsman got upset by Florida. We could have been playing Florida in the finals. Like, and I, like, no offense, Florida, but like, we had that. So it would have been such an insane finals, because those are two, like, kind of like, especially Florida, like, they're not really thought of as like top three, top four team right now. So it's just so awesome how competitive the league is right now.
Yeah, and it's interesting for me, and you know, I don't mind admitting that, you know, I can't watch a team and instinctively know if they're better than us, right? Like, I don't have that depth of knowledge of COD. Like, I'm getting closer. I'm, you know, understanding it more and more. But, you know, when we were putting the roster together, you know, I was learning a lot from you, and you know, who the good players were and what their skills were. So for me, the way I look at things is I'm always looking for comparables, right? Like, okay, we beat these two teams launch weekend. How did they do at the next tournament?
Yeah.
And this is just partly, you know, this sports fan minds, like, even if I didn't work here, that's how I would look at it, as like, you know, you're sizing up the competition, right? So going into this, obviously knowing that we had Chicago in our pool, in our group, we knew we were opening against Paris, who was another team that just like us had exceeded preseason expectations. Went 2-0 launch weekend, made a run to the semifinals in London before I think they lost to Chicago there, right?
Yeah, they have the talent.
So we knew that would be a tough test.
I was nervous.
Into it, you're thinking, okay, we're 2-0. We didn't play in London, so we spent a month feeling pretty good about being 2-0.
Yeah, I think
we had a test coming up.
I think that may have been why I was, and not that I, because I know how hard these guys work. Like, they're in here every day. They take this super seriously. I mean, they put all of their energy and effort into getting better every day. So I wasn't nervous that like we weren't going to play well, but you know, when there is that time off, this is the first kind of format where there's, you know, a team has a bye week and now we have to see how they bounce off the bye. You know what I mean? So that was kind of a factor for me where I was like, I mean, I know we've been working hard. I know we've been scrimming and we've been going crazy as we can. But like, when it comes down to the match, like, what's going to happen? And that's the thing too about the league that I find so intriguing, is they really have struck that balance between you know, kind of a predetermined match, because obviously you know who you're going to play first. And that match, like, these matches have so much weight on them, because if you don't win out of the group, then you're not even in the bracket on Sunday, right? So, or you're not even, like, playing for the chip, basically. Yeah. So, the matches have a lot of weight. And then there's no double elim once you are in that final bracket.
Yeah, so. When you think about it, so, obviously, winning our first match against Paris, we knew going into the evening match against Chicago that we would be playing on Sunday. So, winning that first match is just so critical.
Yeah, sets the tone.
To know that you're at least not going to be one of the teams that goes 0-2, and you know that's a tough pill to swallow.
To
get knocked out on Saturday, no points. You know, maybe your flight isn't until Monday. You know, that's a long time to sit around and wait.
Yeah.
So it was great to get the win against Paris, going at least into the evening, knowing you have a win under your belt. You've got 10 points, and you know, we'll come back and talk a little more about points later, but I think that's a very underrated aspect of this league that as the season goes along, people will talk more and more about.
Well, I think as the closer we get towards, like, the, you know, the finale of the season, all these points, although it feels kind of not as significant now, like, this is all going to determine, like, champs at the end. So that's huge.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, like, when we lost to Chicago, it's bad to say, but, like, I'm not super surprised because they just won the most recent tournament, although I really felt like they did not look very good against Toronto. And so in my head, I was like, bro, we could do this. And then we played them pretty friggin' close. I mean, that first hard point
was dominant.
When that hard point happened and they hadn't scored a point for, like, the first minute or two, the Huntsman hadn't scored a point, I was like, damn, like, this is our time to, like, pedal to the metal and, like, really, you know, get them down. So, I mean, it was a close series. I felt like we could have maybe taken it, but then, you know, we had to play for Paris again. We were able to beat them again. Like, being the same team twice is tough, because there's a lot of adjustments that kind of happen after that.
And even Jake, he talked about this in an interview he did with Charlie after the Paris match. They made some adjustments in that match that Jake noticed, where they took some of the plays that had worked for us the day before and used those against us. So, you know, I mean, that's a nuance that I'm not seeing when I watch, but hearing Jake talk about it afterwards, that was really interesting, that, you know, sort of they went back to the lab and found some, you know, found some tweaks and some wrinkles. And, you know, it's fascinating. I mean, I just love nerding out and listening to our coaches talk about the strategy.
Yeah, especially in search. Like, I think we played them on the same search map, but there was different things happening the second time, right? Which was pretty cool to see. And then, I mean, obviously Sunday semifinals match, we're going up against the home team, Atlanta FaZe. This is a team who doesn't underestimate us. I mean, I've seen interviews of Coach Crowder saying, like, I think he was maybe one of the only ones on the Hard Points podcast to pick us to actually beat Paris.
Yeah,
to get out of the group. And, you know, he knows how hard we were. I mean, he was here. They were here launch weekend.
Yeah,
boot
we
scrimmed
them
here.
A lot.
Yeah, we scrimmed them a lot. And, like, that's how you know. Like, when the top teams are wanting to practice against you, you're getting great practice. And so I knew when we were going to play FaZe. And FaZe played, God, who did they play? I feel like I should remember this. They played someone on Saturday, and I thought that they didn't look great. I think it might have been I'm probably wrong. I can't remember who FaZe played Saturday in their group match, but I didn't think they looked as strong as they normally did. And so when we came out and won that first map, I was a little surprised, but not that surprised. And then when we went up 2-0, especially with how dominant the search was, like, I felt like, we could really do this. And then, you know, obviously everything that happened, Hackney Dom happens, we get good side first, we go up. I'm thinking, holy, we could really do this, that could happen. But then, you know, FaZe, the reason that they are, I think, like a top two, top three, they're definitely a top two team. They just have that ability to flip the switch, because their sub players are so aggressive and so talented that it's tough to match that pace. And so when they started turning it on the domination, I think I was typing in our Discord, the Discord to each other about the match, and I was like, when they're slaying like this, like, it's tough. You really have to, like, know the game in order to beat a team like that. So not saying that we played them so close. We went to map 5. Like, we could have been in the finals if things go a little bit different in a couple different scenarios. And one thing that our coaches mentioned that I thought was pretty key it's not like we went out there and got our butts whooped, right? Like, we went out there and we made some mistakes on our end mm-hmm. during that match that now we feel are fixable. And so, you know, the next time we play them, we are hoping that it's going to go like our way. And yeah. and two, just one final note. I know I'm kind of just going on a monologue,
roll,
but like,
roll.
I would rather this thing happens now and we learn from it instead of just getting whooped and trying to get, you know what I mean? Like, having that type of L happen early can really form how you prepare for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited. I mean, obviously I'm very content focused. So the next thing I'm looking forward to is the Saga episode that's going to come out about the weekend. But I'm stoked.
You know, after the match, one of the things our coaches talked about, and they may have said this in interviews as well, was that, like you said, made some mistakes, they're fixable.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives the group some confidence going forward, but made some mistakes against a team that you can't make any mistakes against.
True.
And, you know, again, I'm still learning Call of Duty, but I know what that's like from being a sports fan my whole life, where sometimes you're playing a team that is technically very, very sound,
mm-hmm.
And has the talent to take advantage of any cracks in any mistakes that are made. But, you know, one of the things that I loved to see about this was every player on our team, every coach, none of them were patting themselves on the back for finishing top four.
Yeah.
Right. Even though I think all of our staff was super pumped and, you know, we were all excited, you know, and just in the group chat and that sort of thing. And even those of us in the venue, obviously disappointed to not be able to close out, you know, a match against Atlanta, but feeling like on the whole for the weekend, incredibly successful. And then we go back and, you know, we're giving fist bumps to the players, but like you could see it in their faces. Like,
oh, yeah.
Top four was not what they wanted. Not where they thought they should end up.
It was so competitive.
Yeah,
like, it was so good.
Yeah. But I love to see that, right?
Yeah.
Like, in, you know, you want that. They're such competitors. And that's what I love to see is they, like, these guys are so competitive. They work so hard.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they're going to keep grinding and keep working to get better. And I loved Saints' interview with Dexerto where, you know, Troy from Dexerto asked him, like, hey, you're feeling pretty good about that top four finish. And he didn't even hesitate. He said, no, we don't want to finish top four. We want to be number one.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, that's the mentality that you want to see. I will say on the flip side, like, the points are so important. And mm-hmm. we talked about a little bit earlier, coming out of the weekend with 20 points.
Not bad.
When we're all sitting around, not just us, but when all teams are looking at the standings come June, like, I don't know that many fans are really thinking a lot about these points. And, you know, it's hard to know exactly how the season shakes out. But if you're consistently banking 20 points per tournament, getting two wins, that's 10 points per win for people who don't know. If you're consistently getting 20 points per tournament, you're going to be in a good position for the playoffs and ultimately finishing near the top of the standings points wise heading into champs will be a huge advantage the way that format will work for the end of the season.
Yeah, exactly. The seeding that happens for that is going to be insanely crucial. And I just think, like, our players, I know that they're not happy with anything less than first place. That's what I would expect. But on the flip side of that, it's got to feel pretty good for them too, because now the community knows we're the real deal, right? Because they like we know who we're scrimming, and that's a pretty good indication if you're good or not, is if the best teams want to scrim you.
Yep.
So we know, like, our talent that we have, but now everyone else seems to. Like, they at least recognize, like, oh, yeah, like, they actually are pretty good. I mean, three of our players, so Alex, Goderex, Assault, they are in the top 10 KDs for the whole league right now. So three of our players are in the top 10. I think that might be the most from one team in there. Now, obviously, KD isn't everything. There's certain crucial kills that could happen that while you may be going a little bit negative, if you get that crucial kill on a rotation, that shapes the points and the win for your team. So KD isn't everything. However, it's a good measurement of how consistently good your players are doing, especially over a long, long period of time. So it's exciting to know that, like, we do have the talent, and now, like, people are starting to know, like, who is Alex? Like, people know of Vasim from last year a little bit. Obviously, everyone knows, like, Silly and Assault. Goderex is still, I feel like he's underrated.
I love every time I hear a caster or somebody talk about, you know, him being on the rise. Like, I just think back to one of those first meetings when we were going through the player list that you had put together, and I remembered so vividly asking you who are the players that are underrated, that are, you know, that are up and coming, that other teams might not be thinking about. And the first name you said was Scott Rx.
Unbelievable. I mean, listen, it's not even like the reason I'm surprised, because it wasn't like I was in some like I didn't really scout players like that. Like, I just watched a lot of competitive Call of Duty, right? So I'm not like some genius scout or anything like that. But it's about seeing the person like regularly show up and improve incrementally. And then that, I mean, yeah, you have your like burst onto the scene type players, but GotRx, he's been getting better and better and better over time. He's still young. Like, he's, I don't even think we've seen his final form yet. I'm just saying, I don't know. I'm just probably making that up, but that's just how I feel about like him as a player. And he's a good, like, good people too. I mean, that was, I know it sounds kind of corny, and we do want to win first, but
good dudes.
We took into consideration like the type of players that we're bringing onto our team, and understanding that because none of them have massive egos, like, they're able to work through an L. And so I'm excited to see like how we bounce back from this. Obviously, LA being 2 weeks after Atlanta, I think that's going to help. You know, it gives them that like, okay, we're going to get right back out there. I think other notable top teams that are going to be there is, I think FaZe is going to be there and Dallas is going to be there. I don't think Huntsmen are in LA.
Chicago's off for that one.
So, I mean, and I believe Dallas and FaZe are in the same group, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so our group, you mentioned earlier, we're opening in Seattle, and then the two LA teams are in our group. So we'll play Seattle.
Wait, both of them?
Yeah, so they play play each other in the first match.
Oh, true, they do.
And then we'll play one of them in the second match. You know, if you win, you play the winner. If you lose, you play the loser.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's our group. And then, yeah, Atlanta, Dallas, and the other one. London's off, and Paris is off. So I'm forgetting process of elimination, who's left. But
yeah, there's one.
I know
more
our group. I don't really pay much attention to the other group.
Until we're ready to play. Until we have to. Yeah. Exactly. I'm excited to see how it goes down. I mean, obviously, having the two stronger teams in the other group kind of gives me that little sigh of relief. But at the same time, like, we can't take anyone lightly. I think Florida proved that, you know, last weekend, making it to the finals. You know, all of these teams can be very competitive. And I know, like, Optic, they're the only team with literally 0 points right now in the league. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they're always, like, I think that they're due to turn the tide a little bit just based on who they have on their roster. So, hope it's not till later. But, you know, excited to see us play them. And I know we're not taking them lightly at all.
Yeah, it's been interesting. So the power rankings came out yesterday. The ones ESPN.
Did they? I haven't seen them yet.
The ESPN ones came out. I'm sure others do them as well.
That's so crazy. That's ESPN's doing Call of Duty power rankings.
So,
dude.
So what I find really interesting about it, so if you compare it to traditional sports, you know, a lot of power rankings, particularly in college sports, right? Or you have the coaches poll, which is common in college sports. And in traditional sports, a coaches poll, like, coaches don't really know who to vote for, because you only really know who you play. And it's not like a college football coach is watching film of teams
like
that are not
all
playing,
of the teams,
right?
Yeah.
So you could certainly make the case, and I think it would be accurate, you could certainly say that that our league's power rankings are for, like, the coaches poll is far more accurate than a traditional sports coaches poll, because they're scrimming each other. It's based on actually having played against the other teams and practiced against the other teams on a regular basis. And so in the coaches poll, we were third. Coaches poll, we were third.
Sick. Where did it go? It went FaZe, Huntsman, us?
FaZe, Huntsman, us, Dallas. I don't remember who was after Dallas.
Maybe London.
Yeah, either London or Paris,
I would probably,
I think,
put London.
And then I think we were fifth in the one that the ESPN staff votes
on. Did they watch the Boston? No, I'm just kidding. Dude, ESPN, I got beef. What the heck? Who'd they put it fourth?
People can just keep on underestimating.
Actually,
it's
kind of
step along.
As heavy as the head that wears the crown. So.
Yeah, you want to be. But I think in any competition, you want to be the one that's underestimated.
Yeah.
You know, whether your opponent is really taking you lightly or not is, you know, probably depends on the opponent. But I mean, you like listen, I love the fact that these guys have a little bit of chip on their shoulder about it. You know, yeah. they were in talking to them after the match, and particularly talking to the coaches, they were legitimately ticked off that people were surprised that they gave Atlanta a fight. And anybody backstage that came up to him was like, oh, wow, you know, that was so impressive. That bothered them because they know they're good.
We've been here the whole time.
Yeah, we know we're good.
Yeah.
The players know that they're capable of being a top team. And so anybody that was just around that was suggesting that it was a surprise that we gave Atlanta that fight, that bothered them, and I love that.
Yeah.
I love that because that's what shows what competitors these guys are and how hard they work to be the best.
Yeah, they take it super seriously. And I think I think people recognize that it was because we're playing them well, because Atlanta was still playing well even when we won the first two maps. I felt like they were, you know, doing the right things. They just weren't able to execute in the way that they wanted to. And I mean, you're perfectly right when you say like Atlanta is that team where if you do start to make even just a smallest slip up that causes a weird spawn, and then they see that moment and then they just exploit that, right? So it is truly like, we're going to learn from this. I'm glad it happened early rather than later, especially like when you're thinking about how the points affect the whole season. But I'm excited to see the season keep turning on. I was excited. I mean, obviously very like self-centered and thinking like, I loved our content that we put out, but like really proud of the content team and how hard they worked over this last weekend and the things we put out. And it's just, it's going to keep getting better. So we're pretty excited. Yep. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you are listening on iTunes, please give us a rating. Love that 5-star rating. Write a review. Maybe write who your favorite player on Rocker is, because now everyone knows their names, which I'm happy for. Like, Alex is getting the recognition he deserves, and all of them are. Leave a like on the YouTube video if you are watching. Hello, thanks for watching, and that's about it. Shout out to Rocker. I was going to say, no more shout out to the WeWork, so shout out to us.
Shout out to WeWork.
Shout out to WeWork.
Still friends of the program.
Yeah, we had a good time at WeWork, but I'm just so happy to be in our own studio. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening or watching, and we'll catch you on the next episode.